Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
God has very good reasons for saying, honor your father and your mother. All of his commandments are for our good, for his glory, and for our enjoyment of life.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, senior pastor at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Stable families are the foundation of our society. It's within the family where we first experience love and where we learn to respect authority. So today, as we continue in the Ten Commandments, we're going to see that the family is very important to God. Here's Pastor John Monroe to introduce his message on the Fifth Commandment, titled Family Relationships.
Today we consider the Fifth Commandment, which states that we are to honor our father and our mother. Western society has rapidly changed over the last several decades. When I grew up in Scotland, we were taught to respect our parents, our teachers, police officers, and all those in authority. And it seemed that most people agreed that this commandment was extremely important. Things have dramatically changed. Discipline in the home and in our schools has declined. Views about authority in society and the roles of police and government have shifted. But this commandment, which is repeated in the New Testament, still stands. And it is clear that the family is very important to God and to society. So let's learn today about the fifth commandment.
Stable families are the building blocks of a stable society. When the family crumbles, the nation crumbles. How grateful I am in God's grace, grateful for my spiritual and moral heritage, having godly parents and grandparents who not only taught me biblical truths, but even more importantly, modeled these truths to their children and grandchildren. What a great foundation for all of life. The principal place for the spiritual, moral, and emotional training of our children is within the family. It is within the family where we first experience unconditional love and care and companionship and protection. It's within the family where we begin to understand what it is to be masculine and feminine. It's within the family where we learn how to communicate and how to resolve conflict. It's within the family where we learn to love one another and care for one another. It's within the family where we first learn respect and authority. It's within the family where we develop our sense of humor, so you can blame my parents for that. We learn so much within the family, both positive and negative. Philip Yancey, in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, tells of a friend whose marriage had gone through tumultuous times. I quote, "One night George passed a breaking point. He pounded the table and the floor. 'I hate you,' he screamed at his wife. 'I won't take it anymore. I've had enough. I won't go on. I won't let it happen. No, no, no.' Several months later, my friend woke up in the middle of the night and heard strange sounds coming from the room where his 2-year-old son slept. He paddled down the hall, stood for a moment outside his son's door, and shivers ran through his flesh. He could not draw breath. In a soft voice, the 2-year-old was repeating word for word, with precise inflection, the argument between his mother and father. 'I hate you. I won't take it anymore. No, no, no.' That the family is important is clear, I think, to all of us. I ask you, parents, what heritage are you passing on to your children and to grandchildren? Our subject this morning, as we continue the series on the Ten Commandments, is this fifth commandment: honor your father and mother. Our subject is family relationships. And as we come to this fifth commandment, it is clear that God holds the family in high regard. The first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. The last six deal with our relationships with one another. And isn't it significant that the first one deals with the family? Let me ask you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, where we will read the fifth commandment. Today, our focus is the fifth commandment, family relationships. Exodus 20, verse 12. Here is the word of God to us this morning. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. There it is. Honor your father and mother. In considering this commandment, I want to ask two questions. Here is the first question. Why should we obey the fifth commandment? I want to give four reasons for obeying this commandment. First of all, this is a command of God, to say the obvious. The human heart is naturally rebellious. That's your heart and mine. And if we are not taught respect and obedience in the home, it's very unlikely that we will respect and honor other people in authority relationships, such as police officers, school teachers, employers, church leaders. The who says mentality, the mentality, who are you to tell me what to do, has no place in the Christian's vocabulary. Very common today, I will do my own thing, no one is going to tell me what to do. Such an attitude is totally contrary to the instruction of Scripture. Today, listen, all of us, to the command of God. Honor your father and mother. If you're a parent, you know that your children do not always understand the reasons for your instructions. But you are wiser than they are, and out of love for them, you seek to guide them and you seek to instruct them. And so we are to honor our father and mother. Every couple of years or so, the governing body of golf, which is the Royal and Ancient Club at St. Andrews, Scotland, publishes a volume, usually of about 500 plus pages, dealing with decisions about the laws of golf, which are going to apply in situations which have perplexed golfers since the last volume came out. Why would we need such a thing? Well, if you're going to play golf, rules are absolutely essential. If you don't have rules, the game becomes pointless and meaningless. But furthermore, to enjoy the game of golf, something I rarely do, but I understand this, to enjoy the game of golf, rules and regulations are necessary. Now, if rules are necessary for the enjoyment of golf, if every 2 years or so, the governing body of golf produces an update dealing with situations which have arisen, providing clarification and definition, how much more do we need rules for life? Why should we think it strange that our all-loving Heavenly Father gives us rules so that we might live life to the full, so that we in turn may enjoy life? God has very good reasons for saying, by way of a command, honor your father and your mother. All of His commandments are for our good, for His glory, and for our enjoyment of life. Now here is the second reason. The fifth commandment is a command with a promise. Look again, verse 12. Honor your father and mother. Why should you honor your father and mother? Who are they to tell you what to do? Here it is. Honor your father and mother so that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you, so that you may live long. God is telling the nation that a nation which obeys this command will prosper in the promised land. There will be a stable society with strong families experiencing God's blessing, God's protection, and His provision. In Deuteronomy 5, I think as most of you know, the Ten Commandments are repeated before the nation goes into the promised land. Here it is in Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, the fifth commandment. Listen carefully. Honor your father and mother as the Lord God has commanded you. It's a command, it's not optional. That you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And so we have a command with a promise. When you obey this command, life will go well. The clear implication is if you do not obey the commandment, life will not go well with you. When the family is strong, the nation is strong, and the individual is strong. Who can quantify in our own society the pain that happens in broken and fragmented and dysfunctional family relationships when children are not loved by their parents, when parents do not model godliness to their children, when parents do not take time to instruct their children in the Word of God, or when children rebel against their parents? No, the importance of this commandment is emphasized by this promise. Why should we honor our father and mother? Do you want life to go well with you? Do you want to experience the blessing of God? Obey the command, honor your father and mother. But there's a third reason for obeying the commandment, and it is this. Obeying the fifth commandment is the right thing to do. Turn in the New Testament to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You notice that? Why should you obey your parents? It is the right thing to do. Verse 2, as he quotes the very verses that we've read from the Old Testament, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, says Paul, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Why should children honor their father and mother? Says Paul, it is right. It is the right thing to do. There is a natural law at work here. There is a law, as it were, written on our hearts. People throughout the world, in all societies, know that it is the right thing for children to honor and obey their parents. It's not that parents obey the children. No, in this natural order of things coming from our Creator God, it is the right thing and the natural thing for children to obey their parents. It's the right thing to do. Children, you know it is the right thing to do. I don't need to convince you of that. You know it is the right thing to do. You may not do it, but you know it's the right thing to do. After all, your parents did change your diapers, didn't they? Can't you now obey them? And I know some of you wonder why your parents don't allow you to paint your hair purple or orange, put tattoos all over your body, put 50 earrings in your nose, up your nose, earrings, belly button, and whatever. And you wonder why your mom and dad say no. I should have listened to my dad when he didn't like me growing my hair, believe it or not, like the Beatles. My dad was a lot wiser. I wish now I had listened to him. It is the right thing to do. Colossians 3 verse 20, Paul writes, children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Do you get that? Children, students, us all, in all things. Not just what you think you agree with. Not when you think your parents are just reasonable or when it's fashionable. No, you are to obey them in all things, says Paul. And in doing so, he gives another reason, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Do you want to please the Lord? Obeying this commandment is much more important than your self-expression. When we obey our parents, the Lord is pleased. Isn't that wonderful? Here's little Susie. Her mom's at the kitchen sink and says, Susie, please help me with the dishes. And Susie is a 8-year-old little girl. And she says, sure, Mom. And she goes and helps her mother with the dishes. The Lord is pleased. Can an 8-year-old child please the Lord? Yes. When that child, when that little girl, when that little boy obeys their mother, their father, the Lord is pleased. It is the right thing to do. So children, students, when your parents say you're to attend church and the youth group, you are to obey them. They are, or they should be, the spiritual leaders in the home. They, not you, choose where to worship. Although today we have the amazing situation which happens more and more, where little Johnny, who's 8 years old or 11 years old or 14 years old, chooses where the family goes to worship. Have you ever heard anything so crazy? in one of the most important areas of our life, the spiritual dimension, we allow our children to tell us what to do. That's an abdication of spiritual leadership. No, the children are to obey the parents. What about our Lord Jesus, the perfect Son? What does it say repeatedly in the Gospels? That he always did the things that pleased the Father. He said, I've come not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. 100% of the time, our Lord Jesus Christ submitted to the will of the Father. He who is God voluntarily submits to the will of the Father in every dimension of his life. You say, well, how did he relate to Mary and Joseph? Luke records at the end of Luke chapter 2 that the boy Jesus was in subjection to Mary and Joseph. Joseph, really his stepfather. The little boy Jesus is in subjection to Mary and Joseph. Children, teens, do the right thing. Please the Lord. Be like Jesus. Honor your father and mother. Now, there's a fourth reason for obeying the commandment, and it is this. If you honor your parents, your children, as a general rule, will honor you when you are old. If you honor your parents now, your children are much more likely to honor you when you're old. My parents took care of my maternal grandmother after my grandfather died. She would stay with us during the winter months, then go back to her little village. In fact, the little village where I was studying. She would go back to her little village to stay on her own for about 7 or 8 months of the year, and then every year come back and stay with us. Then when she became older and too frail to take care of herself, she stayed permanently at her home. I had already left home by then, but she stayed permanently in her home. My mother honored her aging mother. Now, does that fact make it less likely or more likely that my brothers and I will care for my mother? No, we learned how to honor parents by watching our parents honor their parents. Once there was an old man who was in declining health and whose hands trembled. Because he had no place to live, he moved in with his son's family. The son's wife wasn't exactly thrilled about the arrangement, and she especially hated it at the dinner table. When he ate, he often spilled his food. He would make a mess. Finally, in her exasperation, after looking at this for some time, she insisted that he eat his meals alone in a corner of the kitchen, which he did. He began to eat alone and was served food in a bowl. But then one day his hands were shaking so much that he dropped his bowl on the floor, spilling the food. That just does it, the daughter-in-law screamed. If you're going to eat like a pig, we'll feed you like a pig. And she made a wooden trough and told him that he would have to eat out of the wooden trough. So he did. And one afternoon, sometime later, the woman's little boy came to the house excited about something he had made. Look, Mummy, he shouted, I made a trough to feed you and Daddy out of when you get to be as old as Grandpa. She didn't say a word. She just began to cry. And from that day forward, the old man ate his meals at the table with the rest of the family. If that story sounds vaguely familiar, that's because it's been around since the 1800s. It's one of the children's story from the Brothers Grimm, which some of us learned and which some of you, I'm sure, know. But like so many stories, which have been around for a long time, it reminds us of an important truth, that there are good reasons for this command. Honor, always honor your father and your mother. It's a command of God. Secondly, it's a command with a promise. Third, it's the right thing to do. Fourth, if you honor your parents, your children, generally speaking, will honor you. Now, here is the second question. How do we obey the fifth commandment? Again, I have 4 points. Very obvious ones, saying the same thing another way. First, we honor our parents by obeying them. We honor our parents by obeying them. This word honor in Exodus 20 verse 12 means to accord that which is weighty and that which is significant. In other words, we are to give our parents a whole lot of respect and significance. To honor our parent is to give due weight to their position as parents. And this obeying of parents goes to our attitudes as well as our actions. Listen to Solomon, Proverbs 1 verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Do you hear this? My son, hear, in a sense of listening and obeying, obviously, your father's instruction. Don't forsake your mother's teaching. You're off now at college. You've left home. Don't forsake what your mother taught you from the Word of God. And throughout Scripture, the beautiful pattern is for parents to teach children the Word of God. And then children honor their parents by obeying them. And when we get older, we discover that our parents weren't as stupid as we sometimes thought they were. In fact, the older I get, the wiser I realize my parents were. Mark Twain said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished how much the old man had learned. I don't advise you calling your father the old man, by the way. But Mark Twain did, and he was American, so you got to excuse him. Teens, particularly teens, when your parents speak to you, listen to them, respect them, honor, and obey them. They have lived longer than you have. But more important than that, God, yes, God, has placed them in a position of authority over you. They protect you. They care for you. They pray for you. They love you. They are over you in the Lord. So always, even when you disagree with them, always speak respectfully to your parents and about your parents. When your parents are around, don't refer to your dad, as Mark Twain did, as the old man. Don't be disrespectful when you're talking about them to your friends and to others. And obviously, don't rebel against them. I've lived long enough to know that many people wreck their lives because they start rebelling against their parents during their teen years. You say, well, Pastor, my parents are quite unreasonable at times. I'm sure that's true. But let me say this to you. Who chose your parents? You didn't choose them. God chose them.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Today, we're starting a message called Family Relationships on the Fifth Commandment. And John has more to share in just a moment, so keep listening. And remember, if you'd ever like to access these messages at another time, you can do that by simply downloading our podcast. Just go to your favorite podcast app, search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and subscribe to have these daily messages delivered automatically. Now, as we continue our study on the Ten Commandments, I want to tell you about a great new resource we've created for our listeners. As a special companion to this series, we've put together a new listening guide to help you develop a deeper, more meaningful understanding of God's commandments and their relevance today. This printable workbook is totally free, and it's easy to download or request by mail when you visit our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. While you're there, you'll also want to join our monthly email list. Be the first to know about upcoming resources and ministry updates by simply clicking the sign up link on our homepage. Again, that's calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And before we close, we encourage you to take your own step in reaching others with the gospel by supporting this ministry. You can join in our effort to share God's word with a financial gift of any amount. And you can make that donation today, wherever you are, when you go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Now, with closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you think that people today honor their parents more than they did 20 or 30 years ago? In my opinion, honoring and respecting our parents is diminishing. Perhaps you need to ask for the forgiveness of your parents, or if you are a parent, you need to begin to teach your children how important it is that they obey this commandment. Next time, we'll continue looking at the fifth commandment and learn of four ways in which we can obey it.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.